Hi, folks. Welcome to another episode of Film Study. This is Ken McCusick, and we're here for Camp Notes again today for July 30th, 2025, the sixth day of Ravens Camp. You could say it's the hottest day every day, but today, 97 degrees again, a very direct, blistering sun. What made it worse for the media today, and why a lot of them are going to be complaining, including me, is that we're on field two, which is the least protected field. If you're on field one, which is kind of in the L of the building, then you have some stands where you can get some shade. If you're on field three, the furthest one from the building, there's some stands. You can get some shade. No shade to protect you on when you're on field two. So it's a nice, good hill, a little bit of better sight lines maybe for the play, but you don't have the benefit of shade. So it is what it is. Ravens in full pads for the third straight days. I flubbed that, I think, yesterday. I think I called it no pads yesterday, but they did have full pads, and this is the third consecutive day. So they've been mixing it up a little bit. They've really been hitting, and we saw an extra period of actual tackle football at the end of this practice and some other ill-advised tackling earlier in the practice that I'll get to here as we go. Absentees. Emory Jones and Ardarius Washington, you know why they've been out forever. Keith Kirkwood was back at practice today, so he was a guy who had been missing for a while. Zay Flowers missing. John Harbaugh called it a camp-type thing, and he'll be back in a few days. Typically, that will mean a hammy, so some sort of a hamstring tweak. It could be a week. It could be less than that, but unfortunately, that's usually what these soft tissue injuries this time of camp mean. He had an update on cornerback Bilal Kone, who is still out with a shoulder injury. He said he's dealing with pain and should return very soon. But he doesn't have any big structural problem that was created with falling on his shoulder. So that's unfortunate. He's certainly missing developmental time. It'd be really a shame if he missed the game against the Colts next week or even the joint practice against the Colts. So hopefully he'll be back for that. He's missed some padded practices. That in itself is unfortunate. JAD is still out today. John talked about it as an itis, and he said it will not keep them out long. In fact, one of the itises will not keep him out long. So hopefully he'll be back on the field as early as tomorrow, the next day. Tomorrow, or they have an off day after that. Isaiah Likely, the injury he had required surgery. It was a broken bone that required surgery. He apparently has not yet had that, but he's going to. They think the team may have him back early in the season. He said his words were not exactly that. They were, we'll have him back nice and early or something. Listen to the podium time today if you want to hear exactly what he said. But it was not exactly that, but that was the implication to me. I think if he starts the year on IR, it's unlikely he's back before week five. And if he doesn't start the week in IR, then the Ravens have to commit a roster spot to him, which is somewhat crowded in terms of other guys like, say, Carson Vinson, who will be on the roster, but they don't want to activate. It could get crowded if they have some guys in that status. So it may well be that Isaiah Likely will be moved to IR to start the season, and he might not be back if that was the case until week five. Honestly, with how much, there's getting over the surgery and there's getting back in football shape. And I think that if I had to guess, I'd say he'll miss those first four games based on what we know and the fact that surgery has to occur. So we'll see how that works out. Let's talk. First thing, kickoff drills. So, part of the interesting thing here is who they're going to use on kickoffs. So Hill, Ali, and Mitchell all did some work on kickoff drills. Obviously, there's a lot of fans there, so this information will be out there publicly. But Cunningham, Wade, and Wester, also among wide receivers, were doing some return drills. So Chris Horton was primarily watching the blocking on the front end. He was doing a lot of quarter field where two-on-two blocks were occurring and really hawking those and trying to make sure that blocking was done properly, and that also the players who were trying to do the rushing upfield were doing their best to get by their opponent. But we had some standouts in that. Jake Hummel looked pretty darn good. Mike Green had a couple of really nice, well-maintained blocks in a row, the first of which was on fullback Lucas Scott, who's not a small guy, so that was a good one. In terms of the return men, I'd say the following. they were working with a jugs gun. They weren't using a regular live kickoff, which is a possibility. When you get a jugs gun, it's kind of like hitting off a pitching machine. It's kind of BS because it'll give you a nice true shot each time, and it's easier to judge that ball than it is off a live foot. It's not the same anyway. I think for the returners, the good news is that no one fumbled the kickoff, but the bad news is that the tracking just remains okay. Despite the machine, the returners didn't really explode through the catch the way I would hope. So when I look at kickoff returns, I grade them on a 1-4 scale. The first one being for tracking, and the highest level you can get is if you catch the ball and you're basically stopped or ready to go forward, you get a 2. You might get a 1, depending on a 1-4 scale, depending on whether or not you're really exploding out of that. So if you're going to explode out of it, you better be in a track star stance, or you better run through the catch and have momentum build, which is something, you know, return men can be very good at. I think the star of the return drills here was Keaton Mitchell. He looked the best. He would have had 3 1-1 reps, except for a slight bobble on the last return. I don't think I explained what the second number one was. The second number one is for explosion. Is how quickly does he get starting after making the catch? So track the ball, get underneath it, and then explode out of your catch. He had a 1-1, a 1-1, and a 1-2 as I scored it in terms of how those reps look to me. Keaton Mitchell looks fantastic. Looks like he's going to be a huge part of the Baltimore Ravens in 2025. If he can get through what is frankly an unbelievable beating, the guy who's taking a cam right now. Right now, he's the one player I'm really worried about the Ravens taken care of in terms of the amount of contact he's taking. It took some more hard hits today, which we'll get into a little bit later. So the Ravens, after the kickoff drills, special teams, they expend a while on that, about 20 minutes, might have even been more, but then they go to set and snap drills again. This time they split the field. They, as Cotter would say, they doubled down and had set and snap drills at both ends of the field. So they're getting twice as many reps in. This is the seventh consecutive day they've run these drills, and despite this additional cadence work, the offense still piled up five more false starts today in 11 on 11. It's not that many total snaps, folks, and that's five more false starts. It's not good. They're obviously challenging the players with the cadence, but they're not making huge progress. Yesterday they only had one, by the way, all day. It was really good, but today back to five again, so a step back. The kicking battle, I've been reporting on that pretty much every day, but Loop did the kicking today. He had the GoPro helmet on, makes him look kind of funny, but it's what it is. He made, by signal, 9 out of 9 kicks. I'm going to tell you what I mean by that. Made it from 25, 26, and 28, all a bunch of small, short kicks on what the Ravens call a bonsai field goal drill, where they are trying to get one play to get closer, spike the ball, or call a timeout, or you usually spike the football, and then run the field goal team on and make a kick. So those were 3 short kicks. And then he did the progressively working backwards kick routine, where he went from 24, 33, 38, all good. So he's 6 for 6 so far. And then he kicked and made a 45-yard kick that appeared to miss wide left. And in fact, it missed so far wide left that the pole on the netting, which is behind the goalpost and wider, he was wide of that. So several people on the reporting group, Vinny Serrato was one of them, but others as well, said, you know, that kick wasn't any good, but the officials ruled it good. So what are you going to do? We're going to, I guess, call it good at this point. Jonas Schaefer keeps a very accurate record or keeps a complete record. It might not be accurate if he's got this kick as a make, but I thought he missed the kick anyway. And Jonas has very good spreadsheeted set of returns. And he said he would defer to the official if you're wondering why he hasn't at 9 for 9 today. One of the pieces of information that kind of tells you that it probably was not good is that he kicked again from the exact same distance on the very next kick. So Loop probably knows that ball went wide left and then kicked it again from 53, 45. And then he moved back to 53 from the left hash, made it cleanly. So it's nice to see. There haven't been a whole lot of long kicks this whole camp. Hoyland missed one from 51, which was his longest. Loop, of course, has been good from 53 and from 63 in camp. obviously there are a lot of field goals now for more than 50 yards in the NFL. So you want to have a kicker who definitely has that kind of a leg. And I think we'll see more. But anyway, good day for Loop. Certainly didn't hurt his stock at all in terms of moving forward. Offense and defense have a scoring that goes up, and I think they do it mostly for the padded practices now. It was very lopsided today. Came down to the last segment with the defense leading the offense 63-28. You don't often always get a final or whatever because they may turn it off or they may not update it for the last couple of plays or whatever. But 63-28, there's no doubt about who was winning. It's like being back down, you know, 14-3 in a baseball game late. You know who won the practice. Lots of mistakes by the offense, a broad set of mistakes, bad snaps, one bad snap. They had drops. They had all the false starts I mentioned. They had a lot of QB inaccuracy. It was just really ugly. There was an unforced fumble by Leary, who just lost the handle on a screen pass, and the ball was on the ground all of a sudden. So a whole lot of ugly for the offense today. And there are a few individual highlights to pull out, but I wouldn't say that any of the stars of the day were on offense. I'll give you three guys who I thought played pretty well today. Tavius Robinson looked like he had two passes defense at the line of scrimmage. The second one, I'm not 100% sure it was him, and I was having trouble getting anyone else to corroborate it, but it did seem like Robinson had two, so that's nice to see. Chidobe Awuzie had a broad set of positive contributions. The first came when he kind of faked a blitz and caused a false start by the offense. So yeah, just you'd be able to do that. It's kind of like taking candy from a baby at this point with some of the problems the offense has had. He nearly had a leaping interception in coverage of Walker. That was about 15 yards down the left sideline. The ball was overthrown, so it wasn't a ball that Walker could have caught, and Walker's having a fine camp, but it was a ball that Awuzie was almost able to leap up, and he did get his hand on it, and then it got past him and out of bounds. But nice that he was in that spot on coverage. He hit Miller in the end zone on what ended up being a 5-yard TD. So he got a pretty good hit on him, but Miller caught the ball and maintained the catch through contact. So nice, good on him on that one. But Awuzie did everything he could to try and knock that ball free. And then he had a pass defense on the back end. This was an ugly play. Owe and Simpson had pressure, forced Lamar all the way to the left sideline. And then they gave up on the play because, you don't hit Lamar. And Lamar stood back there and threw the ball all the way across the field to the right corner of the end zone from the left sideline. And that's 53 1/3 yards, folks. 53 1/3 yards. That ball probably traveled more than that in the air, even though it didn't travel that much north and south. It was maybe 15 yards north and south at most, but it traveled all the way across the field. And then he overthrew that play on that side of the field anyway. So I think actually Awuzie had a PD, I should say, on the back end of that in that corner of the end zone. So good day for Chidobe. And it's nice to see him getting on the field and doing some things. Seems to be getting healthier. One of the things about Awuzie is that he's first of all had health problems, but second of all, he hasn't always been exceptionally good. He did have a good year for Tennessee last year, which is one of the reasons I was excited to get him at the vet minimum. But he's a player that the Ravens really need with some of their struggles to keep their cornerbacks healthy to be on the field and hopefully contributing. Don't think he'll play very much in the preseason at all. He may see a little time, but I think basically the big four probably will all sit out. Assuming that some of the soft tissue risks from JAD, for example, and others, they'll see the playing time in that preseason. Kone, if he's back, Longerbeam, expect to see a lot of them. Expect to see a lot of the guys who are a little bit lower down. Keon Martin would be another one I'd really like to see some from in the preseason. But I don't expect the top four are going to spend a lot of time given their veteran status and just those guys know how to play football. They don't need to play more preseason games. The third guy who started the day is Bo Braid. Now, Braid looks like a hitter, and he really looks like the guy that was in preseason and a star last year, a guy who was a really good player around the line of scrimmage, had more trouble on the back end and making plays in coverage. Didn't have a lot of highlights there. Big plays today were a sack where he came through the A-gap and a hard hit on Mitchell for a tackle just as the running back was breaking into L2. You know, it's a padded practice, so you have a little more contact, but it's still a wrap and release system that they have, unless they specify during that period that they're going to have full tackling. We did have that at the end of practice. I'll talk about that a little bit later, but not here. And Braid laid a hit on Mitchell. I'm legitimately worried that Keaton Mitchell is picking up a bunch of bumps and bruises from what's happening. I know he's coming back from a year where he didn't play a whole lot. There's in some ways he maybe appreciates a portion of this contact, but they just can't keep sending him to the ground. The other thing is that even after, you know, some of these hits, Mitchell's up and he's right in on the very next play. So of all the players on offense this year, I think he's probably been the most exceptional in terms of providing value. We've seen good things from several different running backs. All of them have really done some good things. Henry today was the first time I really saw anybody really want to get in front of Derrick Henry and try and make a tackle. And in fact, he was taken to the ground today for what I believe is the first time this camp. But otherwise, the running backs have been solid, but the offense as a whole has not been particularly great. Tez Walker would be another player who's certainly had a good start to camp so far, but Mitchell would be my MVP on the offense so far. Got an extensive set of highlights that I'm going to read through. I'm using the book method, so it does take me probably a little while to decode some of the things I'm saying here, so hopefully you'll be patient with me on that as I go through this. But the first play of 11 on 11, Derrick Henry is bottled up by Roquan Smith. It was a nice stop for a loss that positive. Had a pass defense by Tavius Robinson on the second play. He was being blocked by Rosengarten on the play. That's a play where Rosengarten, as I would score offensive line play, would share some of the blame for that PD occurring. Let's see. There was a leaping near interception by Awuzie on that play to Walker that I mentioned earlier. Awuzie caused a false start, faking a blitz. We had Bo Braid. Let's see, what did he do? He had a pressure. Now, I didn't mention this on Bo Braid earlier, but he had a pressure in the backfield. So it's third play around the line of scrimmage, by the way, folks, as Rush made a throw to Cunningham 10 yards between the numbers and the right hash. What else we got here? Rush threw a ball to Gilroy that was about 40 yards down the right sideline. And I may have this wrong. I actually can't read my own handwriting. This is why Maureen takes my notes for me during the regular season. But it's either 87 or 83, 40 yards down the right sideline. And Lowry was flagged for DPI on the play. So he's really the player I wanted to note in any case. We had an actual, in the next 11-on-11 run drills, we had an actual tackle of 22. I didn't see who did it, but that's the first time I've seen him being.
Do you ever have one of those days where everything's off? Well, Mood can help with that. And let me tell you about Mood. It's the online cannabis brand that is changing the way we handle everything, from stress to sleepless nights, with functional gummies that are 100% federally legal cannabis. Mood launched to make cannabis affordable, accessible, and transparent, while at the same time supporting American farmers growing premium hemp on small pesticide-free farms. Their gummies are next level. Seriously, I've tried a few and each one feels totally different. The Sleepy Time gummies, out like a light, immediately asleep. The Epic Euphoria, it's perfect when you just need a reset to feel good again. What makes them unique? Mood combines THC with herbs and adaptogens, so you get real targeted effects. You're not going to find this in your typical dispensary. And here's the best part. Mood ships discreetly to most states, offers a 100-day satisfaction guarantee, and right now you get 20% off your first order with the promo code RAVEN. Just head to mood.com. Find your perfect gummy and use the code RAVENS at checkout to save 20%.
Tackle, honestly, in these non-contact drills, they really haven't even wanted to get in front of him. They haven't wanted to even, you know, rap on him at all. The reasons are different between Henry and Lamar. Henry, they don't want to take the contact themselves. With Lamar, they don't want to risk the contact to Lamar with all he means, obviously, to the team. Couple consecutive plays, we went to some one-on-one drills after this, and a couple consecutive plays by Marquise Robinson, a cornerback, did not go well. He fell down in coverage. on the left sideline. Ball was overthrown anyway, but he fell down in coverage. And then he was flagged for either a DH or a DPI on the next play. So it's unfortunate to see that. Opportunities are limited, but Marquise Robinson is one of the guys who has been timed extremely fast. The Ravens, of course, like that, and they, I'm sure they'd like to see him in the preseason have some nice highlights that they could carry through for him in terms of live fire into potentially a practice squad role this season. So we'll see how that works out. Back to 11 on 11. Jackson made had a completion to DeAndre Hopkins, 10 yards sliding. To Hopkins, 5 yards sliding by the left sideline, but it did look like he got up and got some significant yak after that. The defense wasn't right on him at that point. And a couple of plays, and I've been noticing this from Rasheen Ali, that he's really trying to power through contact in the middle of the field. And this is a place where I'm not sure if this would have meant anything during a regular season game, but I do want to see running backs try and squeeze through a hole that is only 3/4 the normal size and try and make something out of nothing. And so it's good to see Ali put some effort into that. And by the way, after that Ali run, I did look up at the scoreboard, and the score was defense 16, offense 10. So for the rest of the practice, it was something on the order of 47-18 defense over the offense. So the mauling really had not started yet in earnest at this point. Jackson threw up a deep pass down the right sideline for Walker. It's about 40 yards right down the right sideline. Like I said, longer beam had very tight coverage. Nice to see some highlights from longer beam. Has not shown up a lot in terms of coverage highlights this camp. Walker was unable to haul in the ball. I think I'd rate it as about half distraction from longer beam on the play. It was tight, and he had his hands up in the proper area, and about maybe a half of a drop by Walker on the play. I don't think he contacted the football. If he did, then I take it back, and it's all longer beam. But it looked to me like the ball kind of went through Walker's hands as he was being distracted by longer beam. 34 had another run middle. That's Mitchell again. Run middle tackled by Okoye. Yeah, he really needs that in this guy. But he was taken to the ground again by one of the biggest players in camp, or one of the biggest defenders anyway, and CJ Okoye. Then we had Mike Green make a nice tackle on Rasheen Ali on the right edge. Need to see run defense plays from Mike Green, and he's certainly done some nice things, did some nice things on special teams. We've seen some from him as a pass rusher that's been good, but nice balanced contributions, playing hard on every drill. Definitely he's being complimented by his teammates generally about how hard he works, and I'm glad to actually see it on the field as well. Nice pass from Jackson to Andrews. It was only about 5 yards between the left numbers and left hash, but then there was a big hit by Malachi Starks, and it's the kind of hit you really don't want to see in this practice. And Isaiah Likely's already down. You know, a hit on Mark Andrews is exceptionally inopportune right now, and this is a case where Marlon Humphrey went over to talk to Starks after the play, and you know, tell him, you know, we got to ease up. We got to take care of our guys here. Another, I think I might have missed another PD by Awuzie. He was in coverage here of Kirkwood by the right sideline. It was close to the line of scrimmage, but the ball fell to the ground because of the efforts of Awuzie. So that should be added to his player of the day information. I just didn't catch it. Then we had a big hit by Brobade on Mitchell that I talked about before, knocked him down with a hard hit. Mitchell's taking a freaking beating. Mitchell got the ball right away on the next play on a pass from Rush. One of the things about Cooper Rush when he's in there, he and the other quarterbacks, Leary as well, when he's in, they're remorseless about trying to get the ball to Mitchell or often to Walker as well. Now, Walker's played some with Lamar, but Walker, because he generally plays with a two, twos, and along with Mitchell are two of the really big assets that second team offense has. And so they're trying to feed them the football pretty regularly. And it's gotten physical for those two guys. Anthony Miller is another guy they've probably thrown a disproportionate number of passes to. All right, we had Mike Green get a pressure by beating Hutchinson to the outside. Hutchinson's having a very tough camp. He's playing a lot of right tackle, and he's getting beat. He did not look good in pass rush drills yesterday, and today he got beat by Mike Green. Hey, if you're going to get beat by somebody, get beat by Mike Green, but he's having a tough camp. Back to 11 on 11s. We had a pass defense at the line of scrimmage. This one, again, we thought was Tavius Robinson. Talked about that. Then the Bo Braid sack, which I talked about earlier. And then another check down to Mitchell, this one by Cooper Rush, and he took a hard hit from Reuben Lowry, who was immediately pulled off the field. I assume there was a talking to. I didn't actually follow up as I'm writing my note here, but the beating Mitchell has taken is really not right now. At that point, by the way, the defense was up by 20, 37 to 17, and it still got worse from this point going forward. A couple of field goal drills. We had some 7-on-7. Okay, the 7-on-7, they're kind of going in a goal line drill, and Lamar threw a pass for Andrews. It was nearly intercepted at the goal line by Hamilton, who dropped the ball and then immediately dropped and started doing some push-ups. So he knows the drill, and obviously he thought he should have caught that interception. We had a touchdown pass from Lamar to Hopkins in the back of the end zone. It looked like he had beaten three Chidobe Awuzie crossing. So good play for him. Another touchdown from Jackson to Miller, 5 yards between what would have been the numbers in the right hash, but was in the end zone. And he held on through some contact by three. So he was trying to get the ball away. I think I mentioned that play earlier. Then we had Cooper Rush through what was a sliding touchdown pass. All of these are like inside the 5 yard line. They're running these from a sliding 5 yard touchdown to Kohler. And then another touchdown pass to Wester, who beat Reuben Lowry in the back of the end zone crossing. Lowry had kind of a tough day. He's had some great days so far in this camp. He's been really praised. He has a very smart guy. In terms of mechanical engineering degree and whatnot, extreme comp for Jeremy Lucien a couple of years ago. So I can understand why the Ravens would like him. And I think it'd be very unlikely if Lowry did not at least make the practice squad this year, but he is still learning how to play safety, and there are some growing pains here. Let's see, another 11-on-11 red zone drill coming up here. We had some good things happen here. Let's see. We had a pressure from Travis Jones where Lamar escaped left, but the ball was blown dead. They don't blow the ball dead too often, but Travis Jones was definitely in there for what appeared to be a sack. It almost immediately following, there might have been a run play in between these. By the way, they're in the red zone, so they have the option to run some different things. But the next play I have marked is a joint pressure between Owe and Simpson, forcing Lamar all the way to the left side of the end zone. And that was a Chidobe Awuzie play where Lamar threw the ball after hadn't been blown dead, but they always give him extra time, threw the ball all the way across the field. Awuzie knocked the pass down in the end zone incomplete. That's a very, very long pass and certainly would be an ill-advised pass to throw normally. But also the play probably should have been blown dead for a sack at that point. Lamar hit Kirkwood, who beat Jair Alexander crossing about 10 yards in the back of the end zone. So that was a touchdown. We had Cooper Rush overthrow Ali at the line of scrimmage. Now, on that play, Jake Hummel had very tight coverage, so he's really a story there in terms of being in the right place and being ready to make a play on the ball. And Rush's overthrow actually was the proper thing under that circumstance. Then there's several highlights here from TJ Tampa. The first, he made another tackle on Keaton Mitchell on a left edge run. And I guess it's true that if you're a guy who's constantly breaking away and getting the edge, the defenders are going to take notice and try and get you on the ground. And he didn't take him to the ground on this one. He just kind of looked like he wrapped on it. So that's what you want to see out of this part of practice, but didn't actually dig him down. And the second time, he sealed him off on the left edge on a run. And again, did not, expose him to hard contact, which is nice. Keaton is not taking any more abuse. Just a little bit later, he was in coverage of 82. That's Wade. 40 yards down the left sideline, and had trailing coverage. Lamar overthrew him on the play. Don't think his catch, sorry, his interception radius was really the reason, but Lamar just overthrew the football by a fair distance, and Wade ran like hell to try and catch up to it, but came up just a little bit short. We had the high snap from Linderbaum that I talked about earlier. Now, this was a weird play. The ball rolled into the coaching and players line behind the play, okay? And then Lamar, undeterred, ran back, recovered the football, and then took off for a long run down the right side. And, of course, nobody wants to touch Lamar. And, I'm not saying that that can't happen in a real game. We've seen Lamar make plays like that. It probably shouldn't happen in practice, and they're nice, and they didn't blow the whistle dead at that point. Last false start of the day, I did actually catch who it was. It was Rosengarten. That was, yes, the last false start of the day. Then we go into this full tackling session that I want to have a few comments on. Reuben Lowry had a big hit, a quick tackle on Zaire Mitchell-Payton. It was about 5 yards between the numbers and the left hash. We had Keaton Mitchell again get tackled, this time by Buchanan. It was a 0 to 5 yard play along the left edge. But once again, you know, they're leaving a guy out there for this full tackling, and some running back's got to do it. So some running back has to be out there for this, but they're leaving Mitchell out for this full tackling session, which I thought was a little unfortunate after the beating he took on the day. We saw then Devin Leary lost the handle on what was going to be a screen pass. In fact, it looked like it had already been diagnosed by some of the interior linemen, and he just lost the handle, dropped behind him. He fell on it for a sack or a sack equivalent on the play, but no one touched him. It was a fumble type that I normally associate with Kyle Bowler a lot. Couple nice plays in a row from Jason Jones. He's the nose tackle from the SEC. The first play, he had a pressure, and the second play, he had a tackle on a run right by Ali. So he had not really been on the score sheet much, and it's a, you know, he's there. John Jenkins is probably the guy who will be the backup nose tackle, we assume. And then they also have Okoye, who's didn't go to college, but is a very big, very physical dude. Seems to maybe have some problems with maintaining his wind that we've seen. But those guys might both be on the practice squad. I could easily see the Ravens carrying two nose tackles. They don't honestly have a lot of size, period, on the team that they can depend on for a lot of snaps. But Jenkins, he's 36 years old, which is the reason I wouldn't depend on him. But he did have the largest two snap years of his career in the last 2 years. They have Travis Jones, who the Ravens, you know, depend on for passing situations to such a degree that I think if anything, they might like to reduce his snaps a little bit from last year on rundowns in particular. So this is a team that they probably would like to have a guy, and either Okoye or Jason Jones might meet the standard in terms of the top of the practice squad guy that they can elevate three times to give Jenkins maybe a week of rest if it's needed. And I think also because Aeneas Peebles is on the roster, I'd either expect him to be inactive for a game or two, which is a possibility, or for the Ravens to really want to make sure that they're very set at the nose tackle spot, because that's not somewhere that I'd expect Peebles to end up. Peebles is really more of a pure three-tech guy. They have Washington, who's a 3-5 guy. You could, you know, he's a very small nose if you put him there, but he's played some of that. So the Ravens have some things they need to work out on the defensive line in terms of how they handle their players. Normally they keep five on the roster. A lot of the talk they're going through about how they keep a sixth outside linebacker would be in maybe not having five defensive linemen, which to me is crazy talk. The question to me should be between five and six defensive linemen, not between five and six outside linebackers. So I know they didn't ask for my opinion, but they're getting it for free on this show because I do not have a paywall in front of this stuff. Last play of the day I really wanted to talk about was a pass from Leary to Sam Pitts, which went for a 20-yard touchdown. It was a nice seam pass. He got behind the defense. The coverage was obviously blown. I couldn't tell who it was who blew it, but it's nice to, on such a bad day, that the offense finishes with one nice play there at the end. It wasn't a lot at the podium today. Harbaugh had some injury follow-up. By the way, listen to it. It's out there on the Ravens website. The transcripts are out there if you want those. You can also get to the actual video of it. A lot of that gets posted on social media as well. So there isn't that much. There is some funny stuff from Charlie Kohler, who had some very funny comments about doing yoga during the offseason. He's calling it body sculpting, but the 75-year-old woman next to him is able to power curl and doing these other things that while he's having to take a rest. But it's funny stuff. Charlie Kohler is he clearly is one of these guys who's always kind of been a class clown or that kind of thing growing up. And he obviously has a hard time turning it off, but he is legitimately funny. So it's nice to hear him with some of these things coming through. It's not like he's more of a slapsticky kind of funny than I would say a Kyle Van Noy, who is more of a stand-up comedian and understands the timing funny better. But if you're looking for a difference of comedic styles, then give Charlie Kohler, the musings of Charlie Kohler, a chance today on the Ravens interviews. Anyway, that'll do it for today. Always fun to be at camp, of course, but end of the week is tomorrow. And the Ravens then have a day off before getting back to it on Saturday. And looking forward to that. And we're having a non-padded practice, as I understand, tomorrow back in shells. So that'll be a little bit different. If you want to do something nice for the folks, please tell people about this show. If you're on YouTube, like and subscribe. When you do that, it's not just for yourself. You're helping drive other people by algorithm to this show, which is good. If you like the YouTube format, honestly, if that's where you watch this show, send me a message on Twitter and tell me that. And I'll put some more emphasis on the YouTube shows and possibly having more video content. Now, I probably will not do video content that involves plays, because that always has a good chance to be taken down by YouTube after a while. But what I will do is have things where I'm explaining something mathematically or explaining something in terms of play style with X's and O's that I would do on YouTube. I would do more of that. So anyway, let me know if you would prefer that kind of stylistic treatment. And we'll talk to you next time on Film Study.
From the office to a first date, there's a lot of pressure to wear the right clothes for every situation. But clothes don't make the man. With Mack Weldon, you can build a wardrobe that looks polished in any setting and tells the world that you stay you wherever you go. They combine timeless style with modern performance materials to keep you looking good and feeling comfortable all day, no matter what's on today's agenda. Browse everything from shorts and polos to sweats and crews. Go to MackWeldon.com and get 25% off your first order of $125 or more with promo code MACK25. That's MACKWELDON.com, promo code MACK25.